Hey, what's up? This is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 251 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I am super excited to bring you my interview with Stacy Franklin from Franklin Barbecue in Austin, Texas. She shares an hour worth of her time, almost an hour worth of her time, going over everything that they have going on because they have a ton of stuff going on. And I also wanted her, and she does explain what it was like in the early days of the pandemic and how they had to shift. They shifted to 100% curbside. And right now, before I forget, they are open Tuesday through Sunday, lunch only. You could order curbside online, and you could order up to 6 weeks in advance, which is pretty phenomenal. And you can't order the day of for most days. Weekend days are tough, but you can order the day of. You have to order at least 3 pounds of meat. But they have, if you go to their menu, I'll have a link below as well as the companion blog piece. But they have tons of offerings, things that I didn't maybe realize, but also they have a lot of new stuff because of the pandemic. So check that out. Super convenient. If you're traveling to Austin, you could order in advance, and it's perfect, and you order within a half an hour window. We also talk about Gold Belly. They now ship nationwide. If you've gone to the Gold Belly website, you've seen that Franklin Barbecue is always sold out, and she gives tips on what the right day and the right time to try to order, so that way you can get within that window. So that's really cool. That's worth the tip alone. We talk about Loro in Austin, which is still open, and then they're also opening branches in Dallas as well as Houston. So those are still in the works, and they're still going to happen. We also talk about, because I wanted to get her mindset, what it was like as things were progressing at Franklin and they were getting more and more popular, and what it was like between her and Aaron, what they thought and what they talked about and how they perceive the business today. So I think you're really, really going to enjoy this. We also talk about charities that they support. So I can't thank Stacy enough for taking the time. Make sure you support them with buying merch, a gift card. Oh, also... So silly. I forgot about talking about the pits. We talk about the Franklin pits that they're creating and how there's a wait list for it and how they just started shipping those last August 2020. So we get all into that too. So if you're interested in a Franklin pit, there's a lot of information about that. Again, thank you, Stacy, for taking the time. I know you guys are going to enjoy this. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. They're based out of Dripping Springs, Texas. That's at treatyoakdistilling.com. Or you can go to their physical location in Dripping Springs, 26-acre, sprawling, beautiful. They have a barbecue joint on site, Alice's Restaurant, where you get barbecue. You can sample all their different bourbon and rye and gin. And they have cocktails, mixed cocktails, old fashions, and day drinking stuff, like really cool stuff. So check out treatyoakdistilling.com. And the show is brought to you by Centex Smokers. They're based out of Luling, Texas. You can find them on Instagram at Centex_Smokers. That's CENTEX_Smokers, like Central Texas. Michael Johnson has been welding since he was 6 years old. An amazing welder, do almost anything. His offsets are killer. He's done one for Mo Kaysen, a beautiful, gorgeous, as well as he's done stuff for Ronnie Killen, two pits for him, bunch of other people. His lead time is about 4 to 5 months right now. Be sure to follow him. Give him a DM if you need a quote. I'll get back to you super quickly. Again, that's Centex Smokers. And I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. Links to all my podcasts and YouTube stuff, as well as these new lists that I've been creating. I have a list of all the knives that barbecue joints use, about 150 plus barbecue joints. A separate list with all the sharpeners and honing tools they use, as well as one on cutting boards and blocks that everyone uses. So it's in their own words. Check those out. I think you'll really enjoy them and find them super useful. I'm trying to be as much of a resource as possible for you guys. But at the end, thanks for listening. I know you're going to really enjoy this. Have a good week and stay safe. Good morning, Stacy.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking the time on a pretty big day in history.
Yeah, too. Thanks for having me.
I've been meaning to get a hold of you guys because I wanted to find out, number one, how are you doing? How are you doing?
We're doing good. We're personally and professionally doing just fine.
What was it like as things were, like as the news was coming with COVID and things were about to, and I've seen that reopen video, which was fantastic, but
it's really good.
What was it for you? Was there a moment where you realized things have to shut down immediately?
Yes. I was a little late to the game. You know, I remember a few weeks before and the week before, this was in early March, thinking that it wasn't going to be quite as big of a deal. And when they canceled South by Southwest here in Austin, that was kind of the biggest revealed to what was happening. And I still at that point was like, oh, okay, that sucks, you know. But it really didn't get crazy for me till like maybe like March 13th, when I kind of was like, oh my gosh, we have to change our restaurant. Yeah, this is before we were told to do any kind of closure, but it just became evident because the staff was, you know, every day it was like, we're having a really hard time trying to keep people separated. And, you know, at that point it was just really about social distancing. We were doing the, you know, told to do the elbow hit for instead of shaking hands and stuff, all that stuff that seems like totally weird now because we would never touch anyone.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah.
At this point, we'd never get close enough to touch a person.
That's so sad.
But yeah, it was really just coming from the staff that we're working with people and saying like, this is so hard. And basically it's policing at that point of your customers.
You can't contain it.
And, you know, of course, most people know we have a line every day that we're open and from 100 to 200 people. And that's crowd control that a restaurant staff member shouldn't have to be dealing with. It became evident to us at that point, and it was kind of like, you know, we closed Sunday and Aaron and I had, you know, the hard conversation of what are we doing? And Sunday night, made the plan, Monday morning, totally new restaurant. So we're closed Mondays. We basically flipped it over to be 100% curbside within Monday and reopened Tuesday, curbside only, and just have been making improvements ever since then. But we will continue to do curbside until the time is right, because again, we don't want to go back into staff policing the health and safety of people. Like, it's just too much of a burden to place on them.
Well, and it's so difficult. Now, at that moment when you switched on that from that Sunday till doing curbside on Tuesday, did you have, because I hadn't checked at that time, did you have online ordering at all, or was it call in, or how did you?
Yeah, so we have for a few years, we've had our little pre-order trailer in the back.
Yeah, I remember that.
And about close to half of our sales go out of that trailer.
Wow.
So luckily, we already had a system in place that it didn't just switch over to work perfectly, but we already did have some kind of our own basically pre-order site built out online. So we had to do quite a bit of tweaking. But yeah, we already had...
That's nice to have.
Some systems in place.
So you weren't going from somewhere, like there's a lot of restaurants that just had to struggle and figure out and then maybe talk to Toast or talk to somebody, to Clover, whomever, just to implement something.
We started, because we already have a Toast system, we actually did start with just Toast. And then, you know, we have a restaurant unlike any other restaurant in the world, and those types of online systems aren't built for trying to make sure you don't oversell barbecue, but also you don't sell too much in a 30-minute period so that there's too many people wait, you know. So we eventually did go back to our system after tweaking it and using Toast for a little bit.
Okay.
You don't oversell something you can't make more of until tomorrow. We made it work, and I'm really proud of our staff. They've been just the best. Couldn't be more proud of them.
You need a good staff for that. You need people to have the passion and to care about a business enough to go through all these tweaks. Because I'm sure you've been refining it probably for the entire year in little bits and pieces. And it's interesting too. And for people that might not know, which if they're watching this or listening, they probably know that part of the experience of going to Franklin Barbecue was the line and interacting with the different people, and then people coming out and figuring out where the end, the cutoff of the line was, and then coming in and getting the cut meat. So it's a different experience. But has business changed for you guys volume wise? And I want to note too that with Goldbelly was something you guys weren't doing that before. And that's pretty recent. And I've noticed too, like, because in my feed for Facebook or Instagram, Goldbelly comes up a lot with your image, and I'll click on it and it's sold out most of the time.
Yes. And if you want, I can describe how best to go about getting it.
Yeah, sure.
Cause that's the question that people have a lot. So So we basically ship on 2 days a week. We ship out on Mondays and we ship out on Thursdays.
Okay.
So if you were to want that product, you have to actually get on every week. It's so confusing.
That's okay. we'll try to get through it.
Every week, the system opens up a new date in the future, okay. 6 weeks out. So we're full for 6 weeks, but then let's say at midnight tonight, 6 weeks in advance opens up. And it's open for whomever is on there basically at midnight. And this is the Gold Belly website. So this is not our website. I have no control over when it opens anything. So basically Mondays at midnight, Thursdays at midnight, it should open up for that 6 weeks in advance date.
I wonder if it's Eastern time or it's because Gold Belly is based. If you find out in between me.
Details are sketchy.
People could start trying, and then I'll do some test runs too. I'll test it out.
I know. I keep meaning to like be awake at midnight. any time zone.
Interesting though.
And check. But if somebody's getting an order, that's how they're getting it. Because by the time you wake up and you get online, they're all filled.
Yeah.
So there are two dates opening every week.
And you sell brisket up by its, is it brisket by itself and then brisket sausage and sauce or something?
One of the packages is brisket and it comes with barbecue sauce. And then the other package is a whole brisket with a pound of sausage and barbecue sauce.
And then there was also, wasn't there some kind of live thing with Aaron or something? Or did I see that?
That's happening this week. So that was just a special package for somebody that wanted to get some FaceTime with Aaron. So Gold Belly does those frequently with different people. So that's actually this Saturday. So anybody who, the price wasn't marked up or anything for that.
The same price. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just kind of a special fun thing to do. So yeah, that'll be Saturday night plans this week. So.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I wonder if people will be screenshotting that and putting that on Twitter or Instagram. What was the impetus to do that? Did that feel, was there a moment, were you guys going back and forth in your mind, should we do this shipping thing? Or was that something that you always wanted to do?
It is something that we always wanted to do. And we never had the extra briskets to do because we're selling them all to people. But we can't get through quite as much food curbside. It takes us a little bit longer to serve it. So we're actually putting out a bit less product every day. But also we also have we're a little bit short staffed and we have been for the entire Corona life. So we cook extra on only 2 days a week. And yeah, we have a little bit, we have extra staff for those days, but yeah, staffing in a pandemic turns out can be difficult.
So that's odd. You never would assume that during a plague that it would be difficult.
I know.
I'm surprised how much gets done during a pandemic. I just think that not just the people that don't believe the pandemic's real, but more so just in general, I would always think that if there's a pandemic that no one can even leave, but you can live your life safely. It's a bizarre thing in general. And that's, you must have like a shipping department now ish.
Well, in a way it's our restaurant staff that's doing it. So.
But like massive amounts of boxes. Like
it's
so weird.
The amount of time it takes to package something is sort of ridiculous. You know, the amount of tape used to send one brisket and how long it actually takes to tape that many boxes and wrap the briskets with, you know, cold packs and package. And it's just very assembly line things happening. So, but
the new reality, but
it's a great way to be able to fulfill the wishes of people that have always wanted to get it shipped to them. And I know we're not able to reach the capacity where everybody's able to get it, but it has been a good thing for us.
But having it like that thing where it's midnight on Monday and Thursday, it makes it kind of exciting. Like you have to work for it and try to get it. And it's like a lottery thing. Franklin excitement.
And it's funny because, you know, anybody that works with Franklin, our office staff, we all know we all knew it was going to be like that, right? Mm-hmm. We knew it would be like sold out and people would be like, how do I get it? I don't understand, you know. But I think that Gold Belly maybe didn't quite understand it would be so sought after, or it's like, oops, it oversold a little bit. And it's like, we knew it was going to go fast. We knew that. We knew that. Because as far as computer systems go, that's the number one thing is we can't oversell.
Yeah.
We can't allow the ordering system to oversell stuff. It's just not a good look.
No.
Nobody wants to be, I don't want to call somebody and tell them
that they ordered. In any restaurant, that's the worst
and
feeling.
That we can't make their product. Yeah. That's that's sadness. You don't want to be the bearer of bad news.
No, I've worked at restaurants and had to call and say that brisket you've ordered is already gone out the door. And it breaks people's hearts too. Or people will drive an hour out of their way to come. Yeah. And then it's like, yeah, you don't want to deal with that.
That was for my grandma's funeral or something.
Of course. You know? It's always for like the most important thing. Like, yeah, my dad's last meal that he wanted. Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah, it would definitely be that way.
Always. It's always that way. And we had talked off camera, your online ordering now, I kind of noticed that it's a few days in advance. Like you're not ordering, like if it's Wednesday, you're not generally able to order for that day because it's sold out. Unless
it really depends. Check.
Okay.
It really depends. During the week, it can be where you could order for today.
Okay.
In January, for instance, you can order for today. In typical barbecue fashion, the, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sundays of the world fill up fastest. And that's still the case during Corona. But yeah, from today, you could order today, and you could order anywhere from now until 6 weeks from today.
I was going to say 6 weeks.
So it really, it opens up a wide range.
And it's your complete menu. And for some reason, I thought that there was a lot more offers. It seemed like more dessert offerings and Frito pie. There are some different things that you could order, which people should. I'll put a link to it in the blog piece as well as the show notes. But it's fascinating to look at because I've never looked at it online.
It's funny because when we started selling curbside only, we actually had our little taco trailer. We had a taco and coffee trailer out in the parking lot. Rest in peace, because I don't know if it'll ever come back. But we had lots of food products from the taco trailer. We had, you know, boxes of tortillas packages and avocados. And, you know, it was like a fire sale at that point. I was like, throw the tortillas on there. Somebody wants to buy them. Throw on the avocados. What do we have? You know, people couldn't get stuff at the grocery store.
Yeah, that time you couldn't, yeah.
I don't know how we got ice cream on there, but we started selling pints of ice cream. And we were selling toilet paper too, because we had bought a lot of toilet paper. And, you know, at that point you couldn't get it in the grocery store, but you could get it commercially.
You're selling those giant rolls, or were you selling it?
No.
They're just
a little paper wrapped roll.
Okay. The one.
What else we were selling. It was just kind of like, what do we have? Let's just sell it. Because, you know, A, we didn't want anything to go bad, and B, people
you wanted to be a resource.
Go get their barbecue and get whatever groceries they could get. So yeah, we still sell tortillas, loaves of bread, and we do have pints of ice cream, and that's, you know.
Yeah, that's different.
We didn't have before. So yeah, whatever you could buy, we'll try to sell it to you. Yeah, we have also chili and Frito pie, and we didn't previously sell chopped beef just by the quart or anything. Now we'll sell chopped beef because we're not selling sandwiches. Well, I guess we are selling sandwiches, but there's a lot of chopped waste, you know, that that it's nice to get rid of. It's perfectly delicious and wonderful chopped brisket. So
does it help you at all plan ahead because of Gold Belly and because of the online ordering? Does that help at all with forecasting?
Well, it does a bit, yes. But we don't cut off the ordering 3 days in advance like we used to with our pre-orders. So we're still kind of like trying to figure out what we could sell. Yeah, I mean, it is nice to know what people are ordering for
the future, right? I guess. Yeah, it depends on how long this continues to be an odd time. It's a lot of people have gone. There's people in Los Angeles that have gone to online ordering only, but it's once a week or twice a week. And it's, and I wonder how much that changes their business model, because at least they, in the past, like if you're, you know, but for you guys, you had a, it was, I wanted to get to what was your mindset when things really, because from the trailer, when did things start to really explode in your head, or know that this is something bigger than just a barbecue trailer?
I don't think that we really knew that for a very long time. You know, we've been doing this since the tail end of 2009. So we just went on 11 years. And in that time, things have gone from, you know, the beginning of being in a trailer where I was working to pay our bills. Aaron was pretty much running the trailer by himself, like, you know, cooking the food, cutting the food, cash register dude, you know, everything. And then I would try to help out on the weekends, to being so busy that, oh my God, we hired an employee, which is like such a big deal.
Yeah,
and we had two employees. And then for a long time, we had two employees for like that first year. And then we got the building that we moved into. It's just like nothing ever went from like being in a trailer to, you know, being on the cover of Texas Monthly or anything. It's been like steady climbing, but it's always been climbing. And we kind of, I think early on we thought, is this like line, or like people just gonna like, if I show up to work tomorrow, are people gonna be there? Like, isn't there gonna be a day where this is like people are done doing this? You know, this is like an old fad that, you know, like, oh, Franklin's is over, like now it's whatever. That we did think that for a long time, like we can't, you know, this won't be a thing. But the line is its own, mm-hmm. is its own thing now. So I don't think anything aside from a pandemic could change that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You needed something like the pandemic. Yeah, you never would have thought like that's. It's such a unique animal, because that a lot, like there's a lot of restaurants that have lions, and but it's become like it became its own thing. And I'm always fascinated by how that, and like what, because you guys still seem like Aaron and Stacey, like the, from when I met you guys way back when, you seem like the same people. But I always wondered like if you guys would be having coffee in the morning or laying bed at night thinking, gosh, this is, it's wild. Like it's been an interesting ride. It's has been fascinating to watch from the outside and how it's grown, and then how, you know, it's the media coverage, and then the fascination that people getting there at, like, would you ever imagine that people would get at your place at 3 a.m. to sit in a chair and wait for your bar? It's,
I think that there's just like a level of acceptance that we accept that that's the way it is. And you really have to kind of go outside of yourself to look back and see that this is insane and crazy. And like, you know we're super blessed and that we're like the luckiest people ever, but that's not the daily mentality. It's just that this is the life we're living in. And, mm-hmm. and so, yeah, we don't, we take a look back here and there and, you know, go, oh my gosh, remember when we went to, 2012, we went to New York and we, like, Aaron cooked barbecue at a restaurant there, and like people showed up and we were just like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, you look back at like little events and you're like, oh my gosh, that was crazy. Wow. But daily, it's not like a daily thought of like, you know, look at this, look at our lives.
Yeah. Well, it's a business now. And it continues to be a business that's successful, but you had to stupid word pivot, but you had to pivot your business to make this work. And another thing I want to, like, you guys have all your merch online, and it seems a little expanded. So merch is another way people can support you. That's all online. For sauce, you could buy it in bulk online, or you could buy it for pickup.
Well, sauce is like, you know, always been like trailing behind it as far as shipping and all this stuff, but this year we'll have it where you can buy it from our website and get it mm-hmm. shipped. We did that for a while, and it's just the cost of shipping a bottle of sauce. Nobody wants to pay for what it costs to ship a bottle of barbecue sauce. It's glass, it breaks, it's a pound of liquid. It's just the value is not quite there for people. So I don't want to have somebody going, why is it, you know, $40 to get three yeah. bottles of sauce? I mean, when you can buy it at the grocery store for, you know, around $5.
You have to have a smart, because I've ordered from places like New Orleans, and yeah, it's like $75 to ship a bunch of stuff. I'm like, because their yeah. system hasn't, you have to have a system that calculates it properly. And yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, we ship briskets and people go, oh my God, $250 to get a brisket to my house. I'll just make my own, thanks. And I'm like, great. We are totally love that you're empowered to make your own barbecue. We feel like we've been a part of that journey of teaching people how to make barbecue. I'm not offended by you wanting to make your own barbecue at home. That's not what this is about.
This is
about if you actually wanted to buy our product and yeah. have it shipped to you. Think about the cost of shipping and overnight shipping, how much that is.
Mm-hmm.
$200 sometimes. If I wanted to ship something just to you, Kevin, and I went to, you know, FedEx, and they're like, okay, it's gonna be $200, and my jaw drops to the ground.
Of course.
But this brisket already cost how much to make? So just have to think about actual costs of shipping and actual food products.
Yeah.
It's not cheap.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, and especially the shipping. The shipping portion is crazy, and I think that people can't get beyond that, or they might think, oh, it's 250 plus shipping or some kind of weird. Like, I've seen the weirdest arguments about not just you guys, but other people getting things shipped brisket wise.
Right.
Yeah,
it's not a daily thing you're going to be doing for sure. No. It's special.
Definitely,
things can be special.
I love that. I would love for that to be like the big moment. Like, yeah, this things should, and they should be special. How is Laura doing? Laura Houston's, is that going to be probably next year, end of this year?
Yeah, hopefully sometime this year. So there's a Dallas and a Houston, and they're both in some type of construction phase.
Okay.
So it's pretty,
forgot about the Dallas.
It's pretty cool.
How is that working? Is that a to-go curbside thing too?
They are open for in-house seating as well. There's a, you know, kind of the Loro thing for anybody that doesn't know is it's an Asian style barbecue of no particular area, but it's kind of like just a sweet Austin restaurant that has just a massive patio and it's quick serve, I guess you'd say. You order at the counter and they bring it out to you like the fastest you've ever got your food anywhere. And it's just,
that's great.
It's just like craveable and delicious and fresh. And it's just an awesome, awesome place. So there's like the patio is great for these times. So people who are feeling like dining in a restaurant can go and do it on a patio and feel good about it. So yeah, they have curbside ordering, and then you also can dine in as well.
And then for the Dallas and for the Houston, will you guys have a lot of outside seating too? Is that something that
that's part of the vibe?
It has to be part of the vibe, right? Okay,
yeah.
That's included. Now, also too, the pits that you guys are doing, how is that going? And is there I know that there's like a wait list, right?
There is a wait list. Yeah. We've had people on the wait list since 2017. Luckily we're working through the list. I know people have a lot of questions about where am I on the wait list. And it's really hard to say because it depends on how quickly we're making pits. If especially during COVID, we launched actually selling pits in August. Up until then, 4 years of like prototype 57, you know, so actual producing of pits during a pandemic. So that's been interesting. The rising cost of steel and also wood that the crates go in or the crate is made out of is effective, but also, you know, I can't know what number you are on the list because let's say there's 100 people on the list, and I don't know if you got on the list in 2018, and you've said that you're still interested. We did check back with people, but it's a pandemic. Are you going to pass? Are you going to still want it?
So I see what you're saying. So people got on the list, but have said, no, I don't want it now.
But I mean, it's like, well, now is actually not a good time. I just lost my job. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, this is a very expensive pit. This is something that you have to really plan financially to purchase. So if 50 of those people out of 100 say like, now's not a good time, then
that changes the order.
Then you're number 50. But if all of them want it, you're number 100. So it's like a pretty big variable of giving people an actual number of what they are on the wait list until we really actually have a pit with their name on it. So,
gotcha.
But the pits are fantastic.
They look beautiful. They're,
you know, we're so proud of the quality and the design. And as we know, many people have taken Aaron's pit design and run with it, and it's inspiring that people love that.
Really?
I think it is.
No, I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying really people have taken, yeah, it's a lot of people have taken that idea. It's everywhere. It's around the world.
If you look at a pit and you look at where the smokestack meets the body of the pit, Aaron invented what he calls a smokestack collector. And it's kind of that like triangular way that it's mounted, but that's his design. That's something that he invented. Mm-hmm. Of course, anybody can try to figure out how to add it to it, but he is not stopping like inspiring people on like the next level of how to make barbecue or pits or whatever. So I think it's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That people take his ideas and make them their own.
Yeah. Well, and he's a very inspiring person. So people, in doing these interviews, and another reason why I really wanted to talk to you was because so many people have been inspired by you guys to either with the PBS or with any YouTube, in the YouTube stuff, or any of the like the masterclass and the books. The book, I often feel like, and it's, there's like a moment. It's a shift. It's like a pre-Franklin, post-Franklin world, and it's like you're humble and you're modest, but there is that does exist in doing all these interviews. So I've talked to a couple hundred people, and it's seen like anywhere from Canada to Sweden, and there's a moment where there was people making brisket for a long, long time, but it's that kind of craft, whatever. It's once things kind of, I think it opened people's minds to what they can do. And then now there's, you know, hundreds of places doing food inspired by Franklin and, you know, and their region or wherever they're from. But it fascinates me what happened at that moment when people realized, wow, it's different than the brisket like or I grew up with, or what I had at the different places in Lockhart are different. It's just, there was something different about it. So I wanted to thank you guys for that too. Like it's in the middle, cause it changed everything. I wouldn't be talking to you right now if it wasn't for what you guys built. I think it's, I don't know. I don't know how you respond to that. Maybe later on you'll be like, God, that Kevin was crazy. But
I'll be like, later I'll be thinking, was I humble? I hope I was humble.
You are. No, and it's, I don't expect you to say like, yeah, of course. Yeah, we did. We changed everything. But it's.
No. And of course, you know, shift. There were many people before us that,
for sure,
that had been cooking Central Texas barbecue for ages and ages. So of course that was our inspiration, and Aaron, yes, took it and made it his own. So,
yeah, and there's been people there's people that have blended Asian with barbecue, and Loro is your own spin. It's all your own spin. But so with the pits, if I was to put myself on the wait list now, you couldn't even, it's definitely not, I wouldn't get one this year probably, or would I?
No, you probably wouldn't get one this year.
And this is 2021 for anybody that's watching, unless it's like, but 2025 that people are watching this.
Of course, in trying to make everything better all the time and do better, and we started making the pits. We've learned so much and we're continuing to learn and make them better and make them hopefully faster and on a larger scale, be able to fulfill more pits for the people that want them. So I would say that that would be the back half of 2021. It's not going to be the front half.
Yeah.
But the backside, we That's will safe. Be producing a lot more pits.
Are people ordering them from other places, but not in Texas? So you do ship them?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have sent them all over the country. We don't ship internationally. We had somebody kind of arrange one to England. So there is one on the other side of the pond. But
you find a freight forwarder or somebody probably to you ship it to the East Coast and then they can get it.
Yeah. Exactly. And already just arranging shipment of something that is that heavy and large takes quite a bit of time for our team to arrange the shipping for customers. So I would love to ship internationally, and I'm sure that we will, but we won't be doing it this year.
Is there anything about yourself that you've learned during this COVID time?
About myself?
That you didn't maybe realize, or things that you maybe took for granted that you don't take for granted now or miss?
Well, I guess I realized that people don't need me as much as I kind of thought they did, because I'm in my... what was my guest room, and now it's like my office. So I'm at home, and turns out I don't need to leave the house at all. So I figured out that I'm completely unnecessary.
Completely unnecessary. That's probably not true. Your presence, maybe. Maybe you could handle a lot of stuff from...
Exactly. I apparently can work from my bed, you know, if I wanted to, so...
Yeah, no, I just think that I didn't realize how... Sometimes I consider myself a hermit a little bit, because I like to like focus on things, but then I don't realize how much I love seeing people and being at places. And that part I truly miss.
Yeah. I really like going out to eat.
That part is just, that's really, really hard. And what about like Hot Luck? Is that what's happening with that? Is that put off? Are you doing like a virtual thing?
No. And you know, I am not heavily involved with Hot Luck. That's kind of Aaron and his partners. And, you know, sometimes I have to say, like, I can't be in this. Like, you go run, be free, do your own thing. So I don't know all the ins and outs of it. But they are partnering with Southern Smoke, which is based out of Houston, which is a nonprofit fundraising for restaurant folks in all types of capacity, but they're partnering with them basically to fundraise and you know, put that money that way this year. So there won't be an in-person Hot Luck. Maybe on the back half they might be able to riff and do some quickie fun small events, but yeah, I mean, large events right now are, it's kind of like, you know, you're planning those a year in advance anyway. So I think it's really difficult for people in that industry, if they still are in that industry.
I know.
So we're going to all have to party real hard when.
Yeah, I know. There'll be a lot of passed out people.
Have to go to all the events.
I would hope that it would, in my mind, there's like, when everything's safe, it'll be like sirens going off everywhere, and it'll be just like how your build up to the success with your restaurant, it'll be slow, like certain pockets will be open and safe, and it's going to be really weird. And that was another thing I wanted to talk before we ended this. I want to talk about charities that you guys support, or ones that you would recommend people help for people in the restaurant industry. And so Southern Smoke is one for sure, right?
Southern Smoke, I would say, is the main direction that we're pointing people in that regard, if you want to support a nonprofit. For just restaurant, I mean, buy a gift card.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, buy a t-shirt or something. Try to keep making orders at the places that you're like, oh yeah, I totally love that place. Mm-hmm. You know, before you hear that they're gone. I think mm-hmm. that's like the saddest part of what's happening, is how hard the restaurant and bar industry and club industry has been hit by this. There's no one to blame. This is this is just the way that it is, but there haven't been any, there isn't any government help to fix the situation. Of course, if someone can get a PPP and it's helpful to them, by all means, that's absolutely awesome. But that doesn't save you. That pays your payroll. Mm-hmm. That doesn't help you save your business fully. So anyway, where were we? What was that?
That was the chair. No, what charities or what should people do? No, that was exactly the answer that I was looking for, because I've been making like these master, because I'm just a list maker. I make master lists of places that have gift cards across the United States, barbecue joints. And then now I'm working on one for hats and merch and sauces, just so that like separate lists, because I know that there's all these little ancillary things that people can do too. And I've often said on the show, buy a gift card and cut it up. I don't know, just so that, or just something. Yeah. So just to, because those, the restaurants that you love, you want them to be there when this is done. You want them to, and they to right. order food to go. And there was a restaurant recently, a really great Mexican restaurant by us. And I ordered from them. And I realized how much I love them. And I thought, okay, and I've been ordering them recently, and they do the curbside and they try to separate people. And I just want these, you know, you want the places that you love, because those are, there's cherished memories in those places. And there's people that rely on that for their income. And it's hard to, it's interesting to like how connected we are to like the grocery industry, and then the restaurant and the bar, how important those are for our daily lives, and how much they're suffering from this. Or the grocery industry is not suffering necessarily. They're just putting themselves in risk, in harm's way for us.
Correct. Yeah, that's absolutely. Great. And I think also, you know, what we don't want to see down the road, and Austin is a city that values its local business so much, but real estate wise, if restaurants go out of business, who's likely going to be popping up there? It's going to be some kind of corporate,
for sure,
corporate restaurant. And that just, the character and, you know, our local economy, just, we prefer the local guys. So you don't want to see those types of changes. So
that's what makes a lot of cities unique, but especially Austin, all those little local spots. So you could go for days and days and days, and it's just, they're so unique, and cool outdoor spaces and indoor outdoor, and the design, like even the design. Yeah. I pray that that's not going to happen, that we can get through this, but that's the only way, if people are listening, is to support your restaurants, get food to go. If you don't feel comfortable sitting inside, in a lot of places you can't, or you can't even sit outside. So just do your best to support. Also, is the Safe Alliance, is that something too that you, I think I'd read something, that's, isn't that another charity that you support?
Yeah, we do. And I don't know that there's anything as far as that being a restaurant.
No.
Supporting restaurant people. But yes, that is an Austin organization caring for women and also children and, you know, housing folks. So
the charity that you support.
We've been totally supportive of them and love what they're doing. Hot Luck would have been, you know, supporting the Safe Alliance if it was happening with a financial contribution to them after the event. I'm also the president of a local organization. Well, it's an international organization, but it's called Le Dames de Escoffier, and we support women in the hospitality industry, be it wine, food, all that stuff. So I took on being the president this year, old pandemic president, they call me.
I'll put links to all that below too, because I've doing some research for this, that popped up a bunch of times for you, for a connection to you.
Yeah. So Austin Food and Wine Alliance is another one, and which they'll be growing to other cities. But they do grants annually for food businesses and people. Okay. Just the most awesome organization. They just gave away their grants for the year. So that's always really fun to see all the different food businesses that were the recipients, because there's, you know, so many applicants. Yeah, I mean, there's so many great organizations to support.
Yeah, just support them. if you can. There's people, obviously there's a lot of people struggling, so it's not not everyone has it, but if you have the ability to support these organizations, you should, because there's people that like they're really struggling.
If you are one of the people that are struggling, also a good thing to keep in mind is that, you know, you can apply for grants and and support to, you know, it's always good to just be applying for things if you're in need. So
you'd be surprised how many grants there are out there that people can get. And there's times probably where they might not even have enough applicants. These times probably they're overwhelmed, but that's another smart thing. So to wrap this up, is there anything that we didn't cover that you want people to know about what you guys are doing? Or I'm trying to think. I think we covered a lot of stuff.
Pit Sauce Restaurant.
You have your books. You have a masterclass.
Masterclass.
Hours. So it's Tuesday through I should have looked at
the restaurant.
Yeah.
Let me look it up real quick.
The old restaurant. Yeah. Franklin, remember them?
Tuesday through Sunday. We're just closed on Mondays and just lunch. So. You can find all that information at franklinbbq.com and go to the curbside ordering.
Are you choosing a specific time to pick up?
Yeah, you choose a 30-minute window.
Okay. So do you have a line of cars then instead of a line of people?
Sometimes we might.
Okay. And also breaking
news. I don't like it, but people do have cars that get behind other cars.
That does happen. But that's beyond your control.
It is very much beyond my control, like so beyond, but we're doing our best to not have a line of cars.
There are cars on the road in general.
So they might be in front of the restaurant.
They could be just
hard to say.
Yeah. Just passing by and stopped, but
they might be at the stop. I don't know.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time, especially during the pandemic and with everything so bizarre. I appreciate what you guys do. Say hi to Aaron and
you too. Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun and it's been refreshing. It's been a long, I think the last time I saw you was probably at the Texas Monthly Barbecue Festival, probably in 2011 or something like that.
It's possible.
It's been a long time.
Possible. So. It's been a while.
We look the same. We're the same people. Oh, I'm just. I feel like I have
aged. All right.
I look at me and I'm like, who is that guy? Well, I hope you guys stay safe, and I can't wait to visit you guys in person once the fog lifts. Los Angeles is it's mayhem here. It's crazy.
Yes. Well, stay safe, and hopefully, you know, get your vaccine on this spring.
Yes, hope so. It's going to get my mom. I want to get my mom hers first, and then
yes. And I think that, you know, people who have parents that I'm looking daily, you know, trying to locate for my mother-in-law and father-in-law and for my folks. So
I have a date set for the first for her, but then I went by the pharmacy that it has it just to double check. And the guy's like, I don't think we'll have enough. And he's like, so what are you telling me? I'm like, should I come next week?
Well, that's not a no.
I know. I said, yeah, is it 10% chance? What am I chances?
Yeah.
So now I'm looking at other, they're doing mass sites like at colleges and Magic Mountain, different places. So, but it says like the window's between 9 and 4:30. So I don't know if I could have my mom sit for 7 hours in a car.
Yeah,
for,
I think.
That's just
difficult.
No, it'll just like everything else, things will start to get in line. Well, I hope you have a great week.
Awesome. Sounds great.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye. See you later. Bye.